Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. As more children sign up for subsidized school meals, school districts are struggling to meet the demand. The state superintendent of public instruction warns the money California puts in the pot for the program is likely to run out before the school year does. The federal government provides up to $2.57 for each free or reduced-price breakfast, lunch, and snack. California tops that off with just 22 cents. But Jack O'Connell says the overall budget isn't stretching far enough. More than 3 million children take advantage of the program in this state. The family of a California man detained since August by the United Arab Emirates says he's been tortured throughout his detention. The family of Naji Hamdan, an American Muslim, say they've learned he's been transferred to criminal custody. Hamdan's family has sued U.S. government officials, blaming them for his detention. L.A. Bureau Chief Rob Schmidt says more.
Naji Hamdan has been detained without charges by Emirati state security forces since August 29th. Lawyers for the American Civil Liberties Union suspect he was held at the behest of the U.S. government because his detention followed several years of intense scrutiny and questioning by the FBI. Now, 2 weeks after the ACLU filed a lawsuit against the U.S. government over his detention, the 42-year-old has reportedly been transferred into criminal custody, where, according to his family, he's being held on terrorism-related charges. Hamdan's brother, Hossam, lives in Los Angeles. He says his brother called him yesterday morning, telling him he'd been severely tortured during his detention.
I heard about torture before, but I will never imagine that when you hear it from your own brother and you are in it, how that horrible feeling that can people do this to even animals.
Hamdan says his brother recounted daily beatings, being stripped naked and spending 24 hours in a refrigerated room under an intense spotlight, and being strapped to an electric chair during interrogations. Hamdan says his brother told him he confessed to terrorism-related crimes he didn't commit just to escape the torture.
If you don't confess, they will tear him apart. He has to confess and anything they bring to him on the table.
Calls to the United Arab Emirates Embassy in Washington and to the U.S. State Department about Naji Hamdan were not returned. 2 weeks ago, the FBI issued a statement in response to questions about Hamdan, saying that being interviewed by the agency doesn't mean the person is in U.S. custody. ACLU lawyer Ahilan Arulanantham says he's convinced more than ever that the U.S. is behind Hamdan's detention.
The timing of his release into criminal custody after just a few days after we filed the lawsuit in the United States strongly suggests that the U.S. government is involved.
At the very least, says Arulanantham, the U.S. Embassy in the United Arab Emirates should take an active role in Hamdan's case.
Since this is an ally of the United States and there are now credible, very credible allegations that he's been tortured, the U.S. government really should take steps to ensure his protection.
According to Hossam Hamdan, an officer from the U.S. Embassy in Abu Dhabi called Naji Hamdan's wife on Sunday, informing her of his detention transfer. The ACLU's Arulanantham says he won't know the specific charges filed against Hamdan until mid-December. Government offices of the United Arab Emirates are shut down until then for the religious festival of Eid. A federal judge has ruled that the U.S. government has until January 2nd to respond to the ACLU's lawsuit over Hamdan's detention. For the California Report, I'm Rob Schmitz in Los Angeles.
Negotiators from 187 countries have converged on Poland this week to chart out the course of global climate politics. But many say the tone of this meeting was set in California 2 weeks ago. Craig Miller examines the California connection as part of our ongoing series, Climate Watch.
150,000 liters of water. On Polish television, an ad promoting energy savings sets the scene for the latest round of UN talks. But it was another video, shown thousands of miles from Poland, that became the first significant development of the conference.
My presidency will mark a new chapter in America's leadership on climate change.
When U.S. President-elect Obama unexpectedly popped up on a big screen at a meeting of governors and provincial officials hosted by Governor Schwarzenegger in Beverly Hills.
And once I take office, you can be sure that the United States will once again engage vigorously in these negotiations and help lead the world toward a new era of global cooperation on climate change.
Dozens of delegates from foreign nations were there to see what turned out to be the first definitive statement on climate policy from a new administration. And suddenly, the Poland round, then just 2 weeks away, was at once energized and a little deflated, because the U.S. delegates there are Bush people, not Obama people. Even Richard Kinley, a U.N. climate rep at the governor's conference, had to admit,
I think it is more we're looking to next year.
That's when the next big climate conference will try to come up with a replacement for the Kyoto protocols and get the U.S. on board with hard targets for cutting emissions. Jonathan Pershing directs the Climate and Energy Program at the nonprofit World Resources Institute. He's in Poland as an observer and not expecting much from what's become a sort of lame duck session.
Nothing will happen of any note that would be decided at this meeting because the old guys would be the deciders. So people will try and pass on anything that might be sensitive.
At the same time, Pershing says Obama's appearance in L.A. positions California to lead the U.S. in its new climate policy, which soon-to-be President Obama says will include some things that California's pioneering, like a cap-and-trade program for greenhouse gas emissions.
I think that he was extremely interesting by his choice of venue. He didn't choose to make the statement in Washington. He chose to make it in one of the leading states working on climate change.
And this is putting to rest some worries within the state that a new federal policy might negate much of what California and other states have started.
Now, does that mean he does exactly what California has done? I doubt it. Does it mean he'll probably provide some recourse to allow California to keep moving? I certainly expect so.
But there is one big worry while all of this is playing out. Worldwide carbon emissions are not tapering off. They're still rising at a rate that exceeds the UN's worst-case scenario. Jonathan Pershing.
The clock is definitely ticking, and there is clearly a problem about how much work there is to do and how little time there is to do it.
The next major round of international talks are in Copenhagen a year from now. For the California Report, I'm Craig Miller.
To see the president-elect's game-changing remarks on climate change, head online to californiareport.org. That's the California Report for Wednesday, December 3rd, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the R. Gwynne Follis Foundation for coverage of climate change, URS Corporation, a global engineering and construction firm headquartered in San Francisco, providing engineering, construction, and technical services to public agencies and private companies, urscorp.com. And the James Irvine Foundation, sponsoring the James Irvine Foundation Leadership Awards, with nomination information online at www.irvine.org.